You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Hello and welcome. This is Andrea Boring, your host of Catholic Women Create, a weekly podcast featuring some insanely talented Catholic women who are creating gorgeous goods and sharing essential products and services designed to enhance your faith, your family, your home, or your business. Welcome back, everyone, to Catholic Women Create. This is Andrea Boring, your host, and I am so thrilled to be back after a rather long hiatus. It's been 3 weeks. I can't even believe it. The holiday season totally snuck up on me, and before I knew it, I missed deadlines, and the kids were out of school, and I'm like, oh, good grief, I've got to decorate for Christmas, and I've got to, you know how it goes. And so I had a 3 week break. I was intending to take a couple weeks off, but ended up going a little bit long. So for that, I'm sorry. Our guest today has been so patient with me. I'm just so grateful for her and her understanding as we move through this holiday season, and all my future guests too, because this has kind of pushed us back a little bit. And but that's okay. You know, it's the beauty of having your own show and running your own business from home, is that when life happens, things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, you have the luxury of kind of saying, all right, let's take a little time out here and focus on the family, which is what I've been doing over the past few weeks. And it has been, it's been delightful. It's been rainy here in Phoenix, and my kids are so spoiled. We're from Iowa, and we moved here when the boys were one, my older boys were one. And when we moved here, the heat, of course, takes a little bit to get used to, but the winters are divine. I will never, ever, ever move back to the Midwest where I have to deal with snow on a regular basis or cold temperatures. It just will never happen. So those of you dealing with that right now, major props to you, because I could not imagine. But anyhow, my boys have been so spoiled, because in the wintertime, you know, they play outside. That's what they do. I mean, they're out every single day. They still wear shorts to school in the winter. And the past month, we've had some abnormally rainy weather. And the boys are so disappointed. They're just like, it's raining again. And I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Ohio. So the wintertime, you know, you're cooped up all day long. You're not going outside, you know, unless you could like twist your mom's arm into letting you go play in the snow. It just ain't gonna happen, right? But these boys are just, it's awesome. It's really a great lifestyle we have out here. I'm so, so grateful for it. But the rain, it's kind of gets you down a little bit when you're used to, you know, the sun all the time. And it's kind of hard to get motivated. And you just want to curl up in your favorite chair with a warm cup of coffee and a book, or, you know, maybe some headphones, listening to your favorite podcast on Breadbox Media. You know, those kinds of things, and just relax at home and not do anything. And this is like the worst season that you could have that urge, because it's Christmas and it's busy. Advent, you know, and even though it's not supposed to be busy. So it actually ended up being a blessing in disguise, I think, for me and my family. This Advent was the weather kind of caused me to just step back and take it slow and, you know, enjoy my time with the kids. And, you know, I look at my boys every single day, and my older ones, and then I look at the little ones, the 10-month-old twins, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, they're going to be you someday. And the days are long, but the years are short. That's like my new favorite quote. So anyhow, thank you for indulging my little randomness here. Today, I am so excited to welcome our guest Cecilia Escobedo with Hair Bows for Life. She is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and I'm just I just adore her. So I'm sure you will too. At the end of our interview, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about how to start your business. It's been a few weeks since I've started, since I talked about that, since I introduced this to you. Gave me some time to really think about what I wanted to say and how I wanted to organize my ideas. So I hope you'll stick around for the last part of this episode and stay tuned. We'll be right back with Cecilia Escobedo.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
For joining us today, we have the wonderful pleasure of having Cecilia Escobedo with us today. She is the owner of Hair Bows for Life and also a blogger. And I'm just so glad that she's agreed to chat. It's been kind of a crazy day, and she's been so gracious with me, and I'm just so thankful for her understanding and patience. So welcome, Cecilia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. And I almost want to jump right into your ministry, but that's not how we do things. We got to get to know you a little bit first. So tell us a little bit about you. Where do you live? What kind of family life do you have going on? What was life like growing up for you?
Well, I'm Cuban American, but born in Costa Rica. My parents left Cuba 53 years ago, came to the States, had a few of my siblings, and then headed to Costa Rica. I'm number 6 out of 7, so it was a crazy upliving.
Wow.
But then in 1980, we moved back to the States, South Florida, and that's where I grew up. The busyness of South Florida, you know, as a Cuban American. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, 6 out of 7, so it was always fun. You know, I had my first niece at 8 years old, so I've always been around children, and just life has been crazy, yeah, and hasn't stopped. And then in 2000, I got my degree in Bachelor's of Science in Early Childhood Education and Development. I figure I knew them kind of well by then. I should, you know, educate. And I also wanted something to do that. I always wanted to be a mom. I knew that was my first vocation, was motherhood. And so I thought I had to do something that I'd be able to be with my children. I grew up with unfortunately, my mother working outside the home. And I knew that's not what I wanted. If I could do the best I can not to have that. And so I knew I needed a degree somewhere that I could work around having children. And so I figured education. And it has helped a great deal now, as I am a homeschooler as well. And then so after I got my degree, I met my husband. We met on Ave Maria, Single Catholics.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, we met on October 8th in St. Patrick's in New York City, and I was still living in South Florida, and he was living in Delaware getting his PhD in chemical engineering.
Wow!
Yes, and then the funny thing is, and this is how, you know, I'm a huge novena, especially St. Therese of the Little Flowers, and I was finishing up her novena because I was about almost 25 years old when I was going to meet, and I thought I was never going to get married. And I said, you got to do something. You got to bring me somebody. So on the 9th day, while we were chatting, we realized we knew the same family. He knew a brother, and I knew his brother, and we actually knew each other without really knowing we knew each other. So it's all. And wow. At that same 9th day, she sure enough brought me not just she brought me 24 roses, because she just wanted to make sure that I knew that she was listening.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And so we decided to get married a year later on December 8th. It happened to fall, you know, conception, fall on a Saturday. And I told my fiancé, this is perfect. This is meant for us. So we were blessed to be married on December 8th. And actually, we're coming up to our 15th year anniversary. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we have we lived in Delaware for about 12 years because he worked for DuPont, and then they did the unthinkable and they moved us. They moved us to the south, Mississippi. And so that's where we've been for almost the past 5 years since the Gulf area of Mississippi, which is very close to home. So I enjoy it. And it's a very lovely area to live in. And so that's where I am now. I have we have 9 children. Out of the 9, only 5 are with us here. I always include those that have, you know, gone before me, before I could really hold them and cherish them. But so we have 9. We have the 4 angels, and they're Pablo and Martha and Benedicto and Juan Diego. And our children, they still, you know, the ones who are here with us, they see them and they, you know, we have stockings for them. They really sense their siblings in heaven, and hopefully they're praying for them, the ones here.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And so the other 5 that are here are, I have my oldest Cecilia, she's 14, and then my son Gonzalo, and he's 11, and then a Natalia, she's 9, and then a Sophia, who's 8, and then I just have a 7-month-and-a-half-old Regina, and they're all full of life and and great challenges, all I want.
Oh, I hear you. I have twin boys that are 8 months old, so they're pretty close. When was your daughter born?
She was actually born on St. Patrick's Day, March 8th. Yeah.
My boys were March 3rd.
Oh, were they? Oh, yeah. March is a great month. Her due date was actually Annunciation. And I, like, you know, for me, dates, and I just see how God always works with me in so many ways. And my church here is Annunciation. And between Sophia and Regina, I've lost 3 of my children. 2 of them I had to go and deliver. So I've always was, you know, God is, you know, he's still always taking care of us, even in our suffering or the lowest point that we think we're in. Mm-hmm. And just when I realized when I got my ultrasound, she said, yeah, you're due this March 25th. And, you know, she didn't understand. But for me, that was just like, you know, God here holding me once again. Here, I'm going to give you this day to hold on to your daughter. Because it was, the pregnancy was a long when you not sure of the outcome because of your previous. So it was, once again, his hands, you know, holding me.
So much comfort, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, that's just beautiful. And I love that you include your 4 children who aren't here on earth. And I think that that's one of the beautiful testaments to our faith, is that we generally speaking, of course, I can't speak for all Catholic women, but we tend to embrace all of our children, even the ones that didn't survive outside the womb. And I think that's something that is really special.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes.
All right. So talk to me about your faith a little bit. Are you you're a cradle Catholic, correct?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. And were you homeschooled as well? No, you said your mother worked outside the home, so you probably weren't homeschooled. Did you go to a Catholic school or public school?
The majority went with Catholic school. I would say my parents are involved. I don't know if you ever heard of Opus Dei. Mm-hmm. So they're very involved in that. And, you know, we were involved it too well. And I think my parents, coming from the country they came from and their age, they really put all their eggs, I would say, on the Catholic schools to teach us the faith. They lived it, but we weren't really taught why a lot of things. And so I think, as a creator, it was just almost kind of like a typical creator Catholic. You know, I say I was Catholic, but a lot of things I didn't understand, you know, or really, you know, took it to the next level. And it all changes actually when I had my oldest was baptized. I mean, I think the baptism, I remember crying and saying, I have to help her to get to heaven. This is why I'm here, you know, not to dress her up so cute also, but I got to help her soul make it, you know, as best as I can, obviously. And it was just such a awe moment. And I said, well, how can I give her something? I don't think I really have, you know. And so that's when it started all to really like, okay, if I want to be Catholic, I really have to understand what I'm going to give her, you know, and hopefully the children to come. And I think also homeschooling has been what, you know, it's what I've been really finally learning the faith, because there's just conversation over conversation, and I just can't give them, well, I don't know, go ask, you know, tell that to your teacher or, you know, ask the priest. No, I have to show them that there's more to the faith and we need to grow all the time. I'm always growing. I'm always telling them, I'm not sure. Let's go find out. Or that's a good question. I never think the way they think these days. I'm like, how did you even think that?
Right. I it is amazing what children can teach us. And I don't homeschool. My kids go to a Catholic school. But I was able to volunteer for their first 2 years in Atrium, which Atrium, for those of you who don't know, is a program based on the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is Montessori based. And I had the opportunity to volunteer their preschool year and kindergarten. And then I became pregnant with my daughter and had her, and then it was, just wasn't in the cards for me to volunteer any longer. But for those 2 years that I was in there, in that classroom with them, it was just to see God through the eyes of a four-year-old and then a five-year-old. It's just, it's incredible. And, you know, and I wasn't very well catechized, and I came back to the church in 2011 and I'm still learning. I still am still learning. I think we all do, but like learning like altar work, you know, like I didn't know what any of that stuff was called. And you know, the ciborium or the, I can't even think right now, but you know, all the different altar work and the epiclesis, you know, the calling down of the Holy Spirit, like all these little things that I had no idea. So it's so awesome to, you're right, you know, to really learn from them. And you have the amazing opportunity to homeschool, which is, you know, you get it all the time.
You're not kidding, all the time.
With all subjects, not just religion, right?
Correct.
Social studies and biology. And I'm sure you probably have to watch. I'll have to look that up and get back to you on quite a few of those subjects, right?
Yes. Thank you for answer keys.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I always love hearing stories of faith and faith journeys. And you mentioned, you know, it was your daughter's baptism that really brought you closer to your faith. And I actually think it was my daughter's baptism that brought my husband into the faith. He converted in 2000. My years are all running together. 2015. So it's been a year and a half since he was welcomed into the church.
Wonderful.
And my daughter, it was shortly after her baptism that he announced to us that he was going to join us. And I think that was a huge part. I think the sacraments, even though other people, other family members and things like that, they receive them. But I think the grace really extends so much, you know, to everybody else. Anyhow, I'm getting off topic here. So, so Hair Bows for Life. Let's talk about that. Tell me about it.
Well, my daughter's, you know, we are Hispanic family, so we have a lot of hair, black hair, you know, and it just got, you know, after my third daughter, Sophia, was born, I said, I got to start making these things or I'm just going to go broke. And I figure I can't be that hard. I'm always up for a challenge. So I started to learn to make them, and I just started, you know, here and there. And I was just sitting there once doing one, you know, try and error. And I had some metals to the side, and I thought, goodness gracious, if I cut off this little hook, I wonder if I could put the metal on the bow. And that's what I did. And I said, look at that. I've never seen a bow with, like, St. Therese on it, in the, you know, with a metal. And I thought, this is lovely. So I made a few for my friends, and a few other ones say, oh, where did you get that? And, you know, a little word spread, not too much at some time. And I thought, well, you know, I should make a business of this. My mother's a very business-oriented woman all her life. And, you know, she's an accountant and a CPA and all that. So I've always looking also to help out, you know, with those student loans of mine. Goodness. And so I thought, you know, a little here and there wouldn't hurt to have on the side. And so I thought I'll do a business out of it. And so reading up about it, I always heard that it's good to have the name of what you're creating in the name of your business. It makes it easier to find you, or Google search back then, So I thought, well, I want hair bows, but I wanted to do something more. I didn't really want just a business. I wanted to do something beyond myself. And I don't know if that makes sense. And again, we were always a pro-life family. You know, my parents always were in the, you know, respect life community, all that. Especially growing up in South Florida, you needed to be a very pro-life because it was, you know, the culture of death was very, you know, in your face. Mm-hmm. And so I always, I didn't have a second chance, a second thought thinking of not being pro-life. So I thought, well, what about, and actually it wasn't me thinking, it was really the Holy Spirit. He says, hair bows for life, and you would give back to those communities, you know, to those causes that are trying to protect the most innocent of all. And so that was my name. It just worked out that nobody had that, which was great. And that's where it started. And so I started to make those, you know, our little religious bows here and adding saints. And then I added a few more, you know, for baptisms or for Holy Communions. So yeah, that's how I just, it just grew from a little metal.
Mm. And they're just so, I never would have thought of something like this. And that is why I love talking to women like yourself, because it seems like so many of women-owned businesses, not just exclusive to Catholics, really, but all women, they really grow from a need that you had in your own life. Mm-hmm. And then for you to take it one step further and to give back to the innocent and organizations that protect the innocent, and people, you know, that's just, I love it. And I have a 2-year-old and 2.5-year-old, and she is getting to the point I'm trying to work on. I was never good with getting them on her head when she was little, and I should have just kept pushing and pushing, because, you know, now she's 2.5 and I stick anything other than a rubber band in her hair and it's like out immediately. Maybe, and I keep using those words, you know, I'm like, oh, pretty bow, pretty girl. And she's like, psh, psh, you know, throwing it. I'm like, oh my goodness, come on, sister. So yeah, so your bows are just, I love them. And I love the metals that are in them, and they all tell a different story. And I just think that that's so awesome. Good job. So what is something that inspires new products? How do you decide on colors? How do you decide on which metals to use? Is there a process that you use to make these decisions?
I actually leave a lot up to the customers. They have a choice. They have a lot of choices to pick from. You know, I just do, when somebody does one, I will do it, and then I'll try to take a good picture of it, put it on, so that gives them an idea. But they are almost open. A lot of time I get a lot of customs for schools or a cheerleading one, a squad that wanted medals with St. Faustina in it for their school. So I get that. The one that is really more particular that came to me was, and I never even thought of this earlier on, it was a awareness, a pro-life awareness bow. Came to me until not too long ago, like maybe 3 years ago. And so I made one that with the precious feet, you know, the little mm-hmm. little feet pins. They have one with a heart in, and then they have the little feet in it, which people don't realize that's the same size of a 10-week girl baby. It's that same size, you know. Yeah, and so I know. And so I picked the color red, and it was they're called my precious, you know, precious feet awareness bow. And some people, I said, can I change the color? And I let them, but I let them know why I have red. Because red is the color of the martyrs. And these mm-hmm. babies are being martyrs. They're being martyrs beyond, you know. And it's just like, and red is such a, you know, color like that, mm-hmm. that it grasps. And so that was one of those that came, you know, that was inspired. But a lot of times it's the saints. Like, you know, our new Mother Teresa, you know, I'll make a blue and white because it kind of goes with her, you know, her colors, if you want to mm-hmm. say. But and that's the other, another aspect of my, you know, Hair Bows for Life. It's just to promote the faith. I mean, our faith is so alive. The saints are so there, you know, and it just helps other people bring into conversation why you have, you know, or who is that, or to learn more about your own, you know, your own faith through something as small as giving a little gift, you know, for your goddaughter or your, you know, of that sort.
I just love, I really wish, I got to get her on the bows. I have to. It's like going to be my new quest. My new goal in life is to get my daughter to wear bows, because those, and it's such a good conversation piece, I think, as well, because everybody notices cute bows on little girls, right? Yeah. And to have that opportunity when you're out in public and you have, you know, especially red. I mean, that's such a bold color, like you mentioned. Yeah. And And, you know, if you're out and someone no doubt would recognize that. And what a perfect opportunity to share the faith, even though it might just be a brief interaction. You have no idea what that brief interaction might, you know, might be working on that person's heart. So I think that I love it. I love it. Awesome work. All right. So what would you say, as a business owner, what is one of your favorite parts of the business?
I would say the creating part. I really enjoy when all is quiet is the putting it into, you know, I kind of try to think of who is it going to, like putting my hands, my physical hand. I didn't realize, and I guess this would be, you know, the most challenging part was the public trying to get my name out, the advertising. I didn't mm-hmm. realize how much work that is. And that's just, but once I get to go and somebody does order and I get to put my hands in it, that's the most rewarding part, even though if I would have be backed up, you know, just being creative with the colors or what they choose or their saint and stuff like that. So that is my, and then putting them on my, and trying them on my girls. That's a lot of fun.
Taking pictures. Are your girls models? Let's see on the
And that's, I think it would be something I wish I knew better and I had worked more on it. It's using them more in, you know, my Sophia, she's the one in the website. Mm-hmm. That's her as a 7-8 month old baby. But I don't understand why I never just put that together, put them more on there with their.
Well, you've got an 8 month old you can start mm-hmm. over with.
Yes, exactly.
And especially now, I mean, you don't even really need a fancy camera anymore because these cell phones are coming up with such great pictures anymore. It's like, I mean, I have a fancy camera that I try to use, but most of the time, even if I have all the greatest of intentions, I end up just defaulting to my,
my phone. What do you have at hand, quick?
Yeah. Hurry, I got a kid that's going to move in like 2.2 seconds. Move. Okay, so you talked about advertising being a challenge in marketing. How do you get the name out about, how do you get your name out, your business name out? What are some successful strategies that you've used?
You know, I've used a lot of, giveaways, you know, if the saint comes that I really like, you know, my sister's soul, my soul saint is Saint Therese of Avila. Mm-hmm. You know, I love her. And so when her feast comes around, I would be like, oh, I got to do something. Or All Saints, you know, we just passed. I always give like a good discount because I'm not here for, you know, making millions, but I just want to get these out there for these young, you know, girls. And especially here in the South, those are everywhere, which is really nice to see. It brings such a feminine touch to these girls that are having a hard time seeing feminine touch, you know, mm-hmm. out there. So when you all of a sudden see a teenager, or, you know, a 12-year-old nowadays, even 8-year-old with a bow in her hair, it's just so like, oh, that looks lovely. So just giving them away like that, or, you know, thank goodness now for Facebook, unfortunately. It just really helps, you know, get the word out.
Do you do any craft fairs or anything local?
You know, up north, there's was a lot of Christmas bazaars. I don't know if they have them in your area. And those were great. And those got, you know, and then my friend owned a Catholic store, and she allowed me there. But down here in the South, I find it really hard to find things of that sort. I guess also time-wise, it hasn't been now with the infant. But that's mm-hmm. something I want to do again, because I really enjoy people coming to me and seeing it. And then they were like, oh, can you create this and this and that? And I would be able to do it there. But yes, craft fairs are very good tools.
Mm-hmm. And up here in Phoenix, up here, I'm in the South too, but I feel like it's Southwest. In Phoenix, I feel it's different here. There are a lot of them. And it's a different feel, though, than from when I lived in the Midwest, because it's November 7th, and I'm uh-huh. sure that I don't know what the weather's like for you, but right now it's going to be like 88 today.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's like so hard to get into
yes,
a
exactly.
Christmas or holiday spirit, because, yeah, it's like the temperature's not really conducive to that. How's the weather in Mississippi this time of year? Is it warm?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Warm. It's, yeah, I'm used to the fall, love the fall, the up north cool.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, if you could go back to the beginning, you mentioned photography. Is there anything else that you might change about your business, or are there any tips that you have for new business owners?
I think I would definitely have more of a written plan. I'm always like, I'll just do things, and then I thought I should have, you know, I guess done prepare beforehand. I'm always just do it, and then I get to it, and then later on I like, I could have done it better if I had a better plan to it. And then seeking better sources. I down south I haven't found it, but I know up north there is an organization, and I can't think of the name now, but they go with, I believe, with universities, and they offer like free business advice from mm-hmm. people who have retired, you know, and stuff like that. And I should have taken more advantage of that kind of stuff, just because I didn't realize, again, there's so much to the business than the creating part, you know. That's probably like, I don't know, 25%. The rest is advertising, or, you know, or glitches and stuff like that. And I guess the other thing, especially of a new product or something you haven't seen out there, is getting your name on it. I didn't realize people will try to take your idea and do their same kind of thing and not think twice about it came from you. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I should have been more, I guess, more business-wise, or gotten the advice that I needed to be on the paperwork instead of just being all creative and just getting to craft fairs, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It definitely does. And unfortunately, idea theft, or however you want to call it, it's mm-hmm. so sad that it happens, but these are definitely good tips. Written plan and putting your name on your products so that you can protect yourself in the event that anything unfortunate like that does happen. So I love that, for sure. What would you say is your most used business tool? Not a tool necessarily to create your products, but a tool that you help to run or grow your business.
Oh my goodness, I would say my phone. So I've always been the one, like, and I, you know, no, I don't want anything to do with the phone or any that, but it's just amazing what you can be anywhere, you know, especially like if I get an order or something and I'm happen to be at a, you know, a store that has metals and stuff, I could right away find the metals, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I guess double tap, you know, doing triple multitasking everywhere. And if it, you know, the phone is just the constant, you know, the best tool I guess I have, because it's just there ready to go wherever I am.
Yeah, I would agree. It's so funny, because as I've started to actually turn off email notifications on my phone, because it was getting so out of control, and I was seeing emails. It's like that meme you might see on social media. It says, if I don't respond to you within 25 seconds, then I'll never respond, or something. Yes, you know, yeah. Because it's like, I'll see an email, and if I don't respond right away, it just gets lost. And that's not exactly the best thing for business growth. So, but I love that if you need to, you can definitely use your phone from anywhere and for anything. And it's, especially as a busy mom, I mean, it's like, yeah. it's indispensable, really. So, yeah. I love it. Do you use any apps on your phone to help you stay organized or anything like that?
Well, Google, I mean, goodness, now they're coming up with their own phones. Google, you know, has just been like the calendar and, mm-hmm. you know, for the Facebook, you know, the app that has the page, it's like a page management, you know, mm-hmm. that helps, you know, when you get something, because sometimes I forget to check Facebook and see a notification of like somebody has had a question about a bow or something like that. And now Facebook, you can actually, they can go directly and buy from there, which is something I got to get more, I guess, better at, you know. So those two apps, as of the moment.
Who knows what'll be released soon, right?
Correct.
Good grief. What would you say, how would you say your faith helps your business? And this can be anything. And I know it's kind of a vague question, but I think that as a Catholic business owner who our faith is our number one priority in life, not, you know, our love of God and
and things like that, which comes before even our family, which is kind of foreign to a lot of people, right, that idea. But what would you say would be your biggest, you know, the biggest way that your faith helps you with your business?
You know, especially I think in the sense of, it's really, it's in my name, you know, pro-life, being for life. And I have to see, like, where is it going to, like, who is going to take advantage of it? Like, how are they going to, you know, see these products? Are they going to see them as a way to bring out their faith to somebody else? Or is it going to be more of a distraction? So I'm always trying to, because at one time in my business, I had a lot of other bows, like, you know, with the characters, or like I even had flip-flops, and I had a, you know, a lot of things outside of the, you know, and those were great too. But then I kept getting so overwhelmed with those that I kept forgetting why I did this, you know, and what was in these saints that are really, you know. And one of the most popular one is the Miraculous Medal. And you imagine somebody, a grandmother, giving one a grandchild who might not really know the faith, live close enough, wearing a Miraculous Medal on her, you know. Mm-hmm. So I realized, gosh, I have to start, you know, putting my words into action of what I wanted this to be. So I got rid of a lot of the, you know, the Disney characters and the cute flip-flops and this and that. And I just went back to focus on the bear of it, which was the saints and our Blessed Mother and the pro-life. And I think I keep reminding me that, you know, that's what God wants. And just mm-hmm. do the bear of it, of his, you know, the meat of it is mm-hmm. of the saints and all that.
Oh, I love that. Just stick to the basics, right? The basics as far as your faith is concerned. And if you keep those, if you always keep that at the forefront of your mind, then you can't go wrong. So definitely. So you have 5 children hanging out at home. Number one question, which is a question I get all the time, is how do you do it all?
I know. You almost want to say, I don't do it all.
I know, right?
No, I don't iron all my husband's shirts. But I think it's really, you have to be organized. Even if I didn't have a business and I was just educating my children, I still had to be organized. Or even if I wasn't even educating my children and I wanted them to live in an environment that was not chaotic, and even if they went to school, I still had to be organized. So it didn't really matter if I was adding a business to it or not a business to it, or if I'm, you know, trying to take care of myself and stuff like that. It's just organization. I mean, it's amazing. We think God organized, you know, in Genesis, it shows his organization, you know. It's such a, you know, he created not first human, he went from one to the other, and that was all organization and all of that. And so I figure I had to do that. I had to be organized and keep it simple. Even though my daughter, you know, is a violinist, and we have 3 pianos, and we have soccer, and we have dance, you know, I don't feel overwhelmed with that, because I'm organized, and I take advantage of it. When we go to music, if we haven't done our school, we keep taking it, you know. I just take advantage of all the, like, moments that we have. And again, like I'm saying, with my phone, if I'm, you know, we're in music and everybody's done or they're reading, I can check my emails, and if I get questions about, you know, a new order or stuff like that, I can send the email out there without having to wait until I come home and of that sort. But I think it's definitely just a simple, even on, you know, I'm a lot of on paper. I like to still write my schedule on paper and stuff like that. So when I put it out there on my bulletin or stuff, it just makes it like, okay, that's what I have to do. That's what's set for Monday, and I'll just stick to it. And so it's not easy, and things do get to the side, you know, and sometimes
like doctor's appointments. That's me, everyone. Not her. That's me. We had to reschedule this for at least like 2 or 3 times, because I kept getting phone calls for all these reminder appointments that I'm apparently didn't make it to my calendar. And I'm like, I need to take a lesson from Cecilia and get my butt organized. No, I think you hit an important point, and that's you know, taking things with you and finding the pockets of time, and really just utilizing all the time, you know, to the best of your ability, while you while you're also keeping your family and your faith prioritized. And that's, I mean, I'm not obviously the most organized person in the world, but I think about how much easier my life would be if I were. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so let me see here. You come bearing a gift for our listeners. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, exciting. Tell us about it, please.
Well, I figure since it's, you know, we just celebrate All Saints Day, and it, the whole month is just such a beautiful, you know, that they can have a actually pick a saint of their own, like their own custom, you know, hair bow, their own saint. There's, I had a few who have asked, some rare ones, and I'm trying to get a hold of them, but we have a long list of saints on our website, and the style, the size, the colors, it's all up to them. It's it'll be a lot of fun to create their own
personalized bow. Thank you so much. That is so generous of you to offer this. And tell everyone where we can find you. Where can we find Hair Bows for Life?
At www.hairbowsforlife.com.
All right. And the four is the number four.
Yes.
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So it's Hair Bows for Life, number4.com. And are you on Facebook as well?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Hair Bows for Life on the Facebook, yes.
Okay. And anywhere else on social media we need to be looking for you?
Not through my website, just me personally or through my blog, but yeah.
And your blog, tell us about your blog briefly. We have about two more minutes, and so tell us a little bit about your blog.
Well, my blog is called Catholic Fit Mom for Life, again, and that's the whole thing that it's going to probably take me my whole life to be fit, but know that I'm also, you know, pro-life, and that, you know, we're just more than a body. We're not just a soul. We're, you know, we're body, mind, and soul. We're all, you know, there's a wholeness of us, and we can use our faith to get closer to God in taking care of ourselves. And I just do, it's, I have a new, you know, it used to be on the blog, WordPressBlog.com. Now I just moved over to a .com. So there's not a lot of, I guess, meat on it yet, but I'm getting there. So I just, you know, a blog about what's on my mind, a lot to do with the miscarriages, you know, two of them I had to go and deliver, and those were really, you know, hard as it can be, but yet it's so freeing to share that, because there's so many of us who have, you know, have lost, and it's, you know, words are powerful. That's why we have the gospel. I mean, there are words that, you know, help us to live. So just writing them and sharing about, the, you know, our saints and everyday life and the craziness of all, but how I would, you know, I love it. I love our faith, and I love living with my children and just seeing what God brings me next.
Well, I love your story, and I love your business and your blog. If for those of you interested in checking out Cecilia's blog, it's CatholicFitMomForLife.com, and I'm sure there'll also be links for her business on there as well. And I'm so grateful for you today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea.
Oh, it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you. And it just amazes me the way that our Lord uses such amazing women, and the way that He uses them to bring others closer to Him. It's just,
yes.
That's one thing that I'm learning through this little ministry of mine, is, and it never ceases to amaze me. So anyhow, thank you so much for joining us today. And all the links will be found on CatholicWomenCreate.com. You can find links to Cecilia's business, Hair Bows for Life, and her blog, and also enter the giveaway. So check it out and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at BreadboxMedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the interview with Cecilia. Wasn't she absolutely lovely? I just, the women that the Lord is sending me for this podcast, they're just so phenomenal. And as I promised, we did have a little bit of a
of a break, but we're back. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I wanted to talk to you more about how to start your business. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And those of you who have existing businesses, please don't leave. Please stay to listen, because I think you'll probably gain some good tips from these little segments. At least I hope you will. That's my hope. So the last show, and it's been a while since I talked about this, on how to start your business, we talked about the brain dump, right? The number one way not to get overwhelmed. And I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but you know, just get it all out. Start a Google Doc or just a notebook or a journal and just start writing and list everything you need. So you've hopefully already got that done. And now what I want to talk to you about is kind of starting to dig deeper, analyze the different elements of what you have written out and how to organize your thoughts and your ideas. All right. So basically, when you're starting a business, you're gonna laugh when I say this. How do you start a business? Four steps. Now, there's a lot in each step, of course, but you have who are you going to sell to? What are you going to sell? Where are you going to sell it? And how are you going to sell it? Okay, so you have that big giant brain dump. So now I want you to go and I want you to start a new document, start a new page in your journal, and I want you to write on each page who, what on the next page, where on the next page, and how on the next page. And then we're going to go through each of those step by step and talk about them and give you tips and tricks on how to develop each element of that four-step process. So just to give you a brief overview, the who has actually got several components to it. That is where we're going to be talking about branding. And branding is not only the visual aspect of your business. So most people, when they hear brand, they think about logos and colors and fonts, and we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about who you're speaking to. Okay, who is your ideal target client? Or if you're trying, and you can use this plan for a blog also, you can just substitute the word blog for business anytime I talk about business. Who are you trying to reach? And we're going to call that person our ideal target client. I might also say avatar. But that is the who that we're going to be talking about in the next several weeks. And we're going to be talking about who you're trying to reach and developing your messaging. And then after we start developing your messaging, that's when we're going to really dig into the visual stuff. And you have to keep in mind too, and I'll go into this more, I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit. I tend to do that from time to time. When you're developing your logo or your color scheme or your font, so many people focus on the what they like. And that's important. It is important. You want to enjoy what you're looking at. You want to like it. But what's more important is if your ideal client likes it, and if your ideal client would be drawn to it. And that's the most important thing. So I want you to make four separate documents or four separate sheets in a journal page, either type or handwrite. I'm not a handwriter, I'm a typer. So if this was me, I would have a separate Google Docs or Google Drive folder. My folder would be called How to Start a Business. I would have one document that said who, one document that said what am I going to sell, another document that said where are you going to sell it, and the fourth one would say how are you going to sell it. And that is how I would organize my folder. So we're really going to be digging in deep to these things over the next several weeks. I hope you're excited to learn more about this. And again, those of you who already have existing businesses or blogs, I hope you'll still tune in. I think that I'll have some pretty valuable tidbits of advice and information for you as we start to work through this. So that's all I have for today. Thank you again so much to Cecilia Escobedo with Hair Bows for Life. And I hope you all have a very, very blessed week. And we'll be back here next week, same time, same place. Thanks.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit BreadboxMedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at BreadboxMedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.